This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivisuthi. 2015 was a challenging year for everyone, and that includes those involved in the fight against cancer. Last year, we learned that about half of Malaysian cancer patients go bankrupt a year after their diagnosis. And today, we're going to find out the latest on cancer from the National Cancer Council, or better known as MACNA, as we observe the World Cancer Day on February 4th. That will be this coming Thursday, but we've decided to have the folks in today because there's a lot happening on February 4th. We have Farahida Muhammad Farid. She's a general manager at MACNA, and she's going to be telling us a little bit more about this organization, what they have in place for us, and what's happening in the country as far as cancer is concerned. Welcome, Farah. How are you today?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I just want to start off with, you were with MACNA. You have been with MACNA for 21 years, Farah. What drove you to want to be part of this organization for such a long time?
It was a personal incident that happened 21 years ago when my brother, who was 16 then, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. At the time, there wasn't any cure in the country because we were not compatible as donors for him. So the only countries that had the available technology to cure my brother was in London, Australia, or the United States. So at the time, that was the only choice that we had. Mm-hmm. So we had to go to London for the treatment. And we knew how much it cost, the amount of money involved. So not everybody can afford that kind of treatment at the time. So when he had his transplant, after a year, we came back. I was doing my final year law at the time. So the family came back first and I stayed on. Then after I graduated, my father then was the Deputy Minister of Health and said, look, we probably should set up an organization to help, the public, especially the poor, to gain access to this kind of treatment.
So you've seen how cancer has developed, as far as cancer treatment has developed in Malaysia over the last, so many years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are breakthroughs. In cancer treatment, for example, what my brother had done was the autologous transplantation. Now we're doing stem cell transplantation. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge leap there already, where you don't really need to have, a sibling for the transplant.
Okay, and so, that's for acute myeloid leukemia. Yeah. It's a very rare kind of a cancer, isn't it?
Among children, it's quite
common.
Common, yeah.
Okay. And he was diagnosed at the age of 16.
16, yeah. And my two other cousins were also diagnosed with the same disease. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. We have one of the most common cancers in Malaysia. What, breast cancer is number one?
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Followed by?
Lung for men, breast for women, yeah.
And colorectal cancer, some of the common ones, lung cancer, cervical cancer, and nasopharyngeal cancer.
Yes, NDC, yeah.
What's interesting is, although considered that the third leading cause of premature death in Malaysia, only 30 to 40% of all deaths from cancer are medically certified. What does that mean, Farah? There is no exact figure of people dying from cancer. What does that mean? Are we not doing proper recording of what's happening as far as cancer is concerned?
Yeah, because the incidence, trying to get the incidence of cancer, it has to be hospital-based, either private or public hospitals. They have to record and they have to report to the National Cancer Registry. So it is actually compulsory to do that. But a lot of people still think it's a voluntary thing to do. Whereas for mortality of cancer, from cancer, there is no compulsory. There's no law that says that, you have to record the death from cancer. Death, yes, but, from cancer, no. So we don't have that statistic in our country.
When is it considered that you did, in fact, die of cancer?
Come again?
When is it considered? Because, for an example, you may die of heart failure as a result of cancer. So when is it considered cancer, and when do you put it as part of the registry?
Well, I guess it's in the hospital records. So each hospital would have, cause of death. So they would have in their respective hospital records. But on a national level, nobody's collating that information.
Okay. And the downside of that?
well, you won't know how many people actually die of cancer. So that's the thing. What we're trying to do as well is, okay, like, you know, we have the number of incidences, but we don't know how many people actually die after receiving treatment, whether it is in the government hospital or the private sector. But we do need to follow, we do need to see that trend. So it's information so that we know, you know, when to intervene. So the information is, you know, the data is important.
So you were one of the founding members of Magna?
I was the first volunteer.
Okay,
yeah,
the first volunteer. How has Magna grown since then?
From one staff to we have about 180 now. And we have nearly 6,000 registered volunteers, but only 250 are active.
Okay, why is that?
I guess, well, volunteering is, it's not so much of a culture in Malaysia, I suppose, especially when you deal with, you know, cancer patients, where you do need to spend a bit more time. You have to be committed. Most of our volunteers are college students or university students, so they only are available during the term breaks. And then we don't really have programs that's on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a project based, like in a month or in 2 months, we would have one or two. But home visit, we do have that. We go out a home visit every other week. So the 52 weeks is always packed. So with the home visit, you have to travel. You have to go to the patient's home. And our patients are also in Sabah and Sarawak. So a lot of people can't give that kind of commitment because you have to go at least 10 to 20 days away from your home.
In a month?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. So have you considered paying people?
The 180 are paid staff. The volunteers for the home visit, we only have about 6 staff right now. But the volunteers are to help with, you know, going to each patient's home. The rest of the staff are doing cancer awareness. They're doing the mobile program where we go into rural areas for free mammogram screening. We have a 40-foot trailer. So that one is dedicated. We have about 16 staff for that. Mm-hmm. We have fundraisers. We have 12 fundraisers right now.
So you very much depend on fundraising activities for funds? Or
yes.
Do you have corporates also helping you fund?
We do. The donor dependency, out of the 100% that we have, 99% are for individuals. 1% is only from corporates. So if we have to raise like 10 million,
wow.
Only 1% that comes from
the corporations.
From the corporations.
That says a lot about our corporations. Is there a reason why?
I think you have to
answer. And I must say we have very, very generous donors.
Yeah, I think because for corporations, they can only give to one organization, like maximum for 5 years, once a year. Whereas a donor, an individual donor, they can give to you on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, up to 5 years.
And how much do you need on a yearly basis?
We need about 25 to 26 million.
26 million on a yearly basis?
On a yearly basis,
that's
yeah.
a lot of
yes.
money.
Yeah.
And you raise that?
Yes.
Do you get government support?
No, we don't.
26 million,
yeah.
only
yes.
1% from corporations.
That's correct.
You have very generous donors, I have to say.
Yes, we do. We have about 77,000 donors who give to us on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that a sustainable model, do you think?
Yeah, that was one of the first things that we had to, the model that we needed to have a sustainability, how is a not-for-profit, an NGO or a charity, to be able to give uninterrupted help. So we do need to build our finances,
mm-hmm.
because you need to pay staff. You need to run the organization on a professional basis. So when we help patients, we don't help on a one-time basis. We help the patients for as long as she or he needs help, for about, let's just say, 5 years. And they have to go to the hospital every month, sometimes in a month, 3 or 4 times. So we don't want them to default. So that costs money, you know, to get them to pay for their transportation, their medication. So we don't want to give uninterrupted help. So you do need to have a good cash flow.
Who's eligible to be a recipient of
The financial aid?
The support,
aid?
Yeah. The support that you provide.
Right, because we're a not-for-profit, so we tie up with the government hospitals. So I think there's about 160 government hospitals in the country. Only 88 hospitals refer cases to Magna through the welfare department. Those are the... Because we need two things. One, you have to be a confirmed cancer patient. You have to have all the necessary documents to confirm that. And you have to prove eligibility of, you know, you can't afford or you're poor. So the social economic background is screened by the welfare officer of each hospital. So there is a department. So we go through the two screenings first before they refer the cases to us. We don't deal with walk-ins.
I see. Yeah. Okay. And do you look at this socioeconomic status before you decide whether you want to help this person?
Oh, yeah. They have to declare, for example, they have to say what their income is. Usually the cases that we receive, they don't have an income. They work in kampong, you know, they don't have a regular income, or they did have a regular income, they've lost their job. So the documents that support that, and then we look at where they live, okay? And sometimes the home visit team, we do the home visit too, just to assess the situation. Yep. And then we'll look at, you know, the expenses. Yep.
What was it like being the first volunteer? What was your first project?
Was the fundraising dinner.
Get the money first, of course.
Get the money first. Yeah, and to raise 1 million in one night.
You managed to do that?
We did. Yes,
wow.
We did. Yes.
Okay.
Well, it helped because my dad was in the Ministry of Health. So that kind of helped.
But I'm sure he's no longer in the Ministry of Health. So he helped kickstart, and then you took it off from there on your own. Was it a challenge?
No, with him. I mean, he's the founder, and he's also the president of the organization. So,
So it still helps that he's, you know, up there.
Yeah. It does.
It's funny in this country how things work, really. Mm. But, you know, it's who you know and, you know, to pull the money from.
That's the first few years, yeah. But after that, it's all about, you know, what kind of results that you do, you know, and how you do it, you know, what kind of impact.
So how did you get this word out? The sort of impact you were making. How did you get this word out so that more and more people decided that they would back you?
You mean the donors?
Yes,
or
the donors.
Right. Well, we have, you know, you do need to tell or share people. You have to be transparent. Yeah, you have to be transparent. You know, where the money, how you raise the money, where the money goes. And we follow the international benchmarks. Because we don't have locally right now.
Yes.
So we do follow the international benchmarks in, you know, the more established organizations like the American Cancer Society, who's been, you know, for 99 years, and they raise so much money already in the UK. So we look at that. We look at, you know, how, what, in terms of measurements, the impact that a charity does, the donor dependency. So we're very transparent. And we also have Pricewaterhouse, so they are our official external auditors. Yes, yeah.
Okay, so all of that makes a big difference.
Yes, and we're a registered charity, we're tax exempt.
We're discussing the work of Magna. It's, of course, World Cancer Day this coming Thursday, the 4th of February. They've got a lot of activities lined up, but I want to get Farah's thoughts on this economic burden of cancer amongst Malaysians. I mean, the statistics that have come out show that half of cancer patients in Malaysia end up without any money left, actually. So what does this mean for us as a nation? That's coming up next. If you have a question for her, you can text 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. We're discussing World Cancer Day, which is this coming Thursday. Farahida Mohammad Farid, a general manager at Magna, also the daughter of the founding member, one of our first volunteer. She was the first volunteer 20 years ago at Magna. And today they've got, 26 million needed to help support cancer patients in the country. And not all cancer patients, those who qualify for their support. And we're here to discuss some of the good work that they do, as well as they've got symposiums and all of that lined up for World Cancer Day. We'll come to that in just a bit. But before we left off, I was speaking about the economic burden of cancer to Malaysian patients. What were your thoughts when that report came out, Farah?
The thing is, we help patients who already don't have enough to eat. So 20 years ago, the state, the people that we help are already in that dire situation. So now I think the statistics is for people who are working.
Okay, so the people you help are sort of in the bottom 40% of the income ladder?
Okay. Yes, yeah. We help the really poor, below the poverty line, because we're a charity. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. We raise money to help them. So we know that the cost of medication is very high, because we know there's some drugs that cost. I mean, we've just approved $46,000 for one patient.
Wow!
Yeah, and another about $36,000. So it is. I mean, who can afford that? I mean, if you don't have an income, your husband is just a fisherman, and you're a housewife, you really can't afford that. So we've recognized this since day one. So what we've been trying to do is, okay, look, how do we ensure that the help that we give would help them in their recovery, so that they don't have to worry about any financial burden?
Do you foresee the cost of medication going up?
With the GST?
Yes.
We've already felt it. Yes, with the GST. Yes, yes. It has gone up. And the recent TPPA, yep. Yes, it has gone up. And we did attend a meeting with the Ministry of Health the other day, and we specifically asked, you know, can you ensure that, you know, the price of medication won't go up? Because we're feeling it already. So we spend quite a bit on a monthly basis just to get the medication to the patients.
Biologics is the way forward very much for cancer, and that's exactly what the TPPA is talking about. Are you concerned about that?
Oh, we did put our case across. We've also put up a paper to the ministry about this. It's a major concern for us.
Okay. How do we compare in terms of global trends on all fronts, really? Cost versus care, support, that kind of thing?
Let me see. How do you mean?
Okay, so you were showing me just now, you had some numbers on your computer. Mm. Where does Matna stand as opposed to on a national level, as opposed to a regional level and worldwide?
Okay. In the country, Malaysia is reported of 40,000 new cancer cases in a year.
Every year.
Every year. Of that, about 4,000 to 5,000 gets referred to Mountner. So that's the kind of burden or the gap or that we are able to fill to help cancer patients in the country. So you can see it's, and we don't give a one-time help. That's the thing. It's on a continuous basis. So the impact that Magna plays, it will be relevant, because I don't foresee cancer being eradicated anytime soon.
Because, I mean, we're all getting older and we live longer. And hence, we thought it was a good thing to live longer. But, you know, it is estimated that 1 in 4 Malaysians will develop cancer by the age of 75. Yep. Is that accurate?
Well, that's what the statistics say. And I think 1 in 19 will get breast cancer in their lifetime. So that's quite shocking.
1 in 19 is about one-fifth?
Yes.
Of the female population.
Yeah, and half of female population of Malaysia are women.
Yes, okay. So, okay, we don't want to be depressing, but on the brighter side, how do you think, what's going for us in terms of cancer treatment and management? The positives?
There's a lot of awareness going around. I mean, since the 21 years that I've been in the organization and, you know, through the interactions that I've had with the hospitals and the doctors and the carers, the nurses. Yeah, there have been breakthroughs. And Magna is also one of our key mission is research. So we've been involved in cancer research since 2001. So we've been trying to find new ways and trying to cure cancer through one of the things that we found out is the vaccination, NDV virus, which using a chicken, specific chicken virus that can help reduce breast cancer. So, but it's not a clinical trial yet. So we're still you know, at this stage, preclinical.
Do you collaborate with local universities?
Yes, yes, yes. We have to, because that's the strength of Mana, is, you know, be able to collaborate with whether it's the government, non-government universities. So we do with cancer research. We do that.
What's that antibiotic called?
NDV.
That's right. I think I had the researcher on to speak about that.
Profining.
Yes, and very promising indeed. I was very proud Malaysia is working on something that's almost there.
Yes.
Almost there. This year's World Cancer Day theme is We Can, I Can. What's that about?
Well, UICC is the organization equivalent to WHO for health. It's an international union of cancer. So every year they would celebrate on the 4th of February, worldwide, Cancer Day. So this year the theme is We Can.
What are the key messages that you're trying to get across?
Well, because when you get cancer, it just doesn't affect you. It affects your family as well. So it's a burden on you and the people around you. So that's in the family setting. But from the organization setting as well, you have other people that you need also to help out. For example, like organizations like MACNA, National Cancer Society, Breast Cancer Welfare Association, who will give another kind of support. So what we're trying to say is, like, it has to be a concerted effort because it's such... the disease doesn't just affect your body, it affects your psyche as well, your emotional self, your financial. So you need help from all fronts.
Yep.
So the theme that we're going to carry, we're going to do this, we'll address this. That's why we're going to have a symposium on the 4th of February, mm-hmm. where we're inviting some government organizations, corporations, as well as, some universities as well.
Because you have coordinated action against cancer, working with government, the corporate section, social organizations. That's what you mean by coordinated action against cancer.
Yep.
There are many other NGOs who work, social organizations who work with people with cancer. Do you think there can be enough of these organizations?
There can never be
enough. Do you think that's too many and maybe you should start looking at working together?
Well, there's 210 cancers that we know of to date. Each organization or each charity that does can be more specific, helping, for example, for breast, because it's the number one cancer among women in Malaysia. So there's many of that. But I don't think there are many organizations for testicular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many.
Yeah, we always forget about the men. testicular prostate cancer,
yes,
that kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah. Until a celebrity gets it, so
yes.
Then it becomes...
Like Lance Armstrong. Testicular cancer,
yes.
Yeah. But still, you know, awareness needs to go out more for men. And I think men also.
Health in general, yeah.
Yes, a little, I don't know, it's an ego thing, I think. I think the men have admitted on air, it's an ego thing that they, you know, sort of are hesitant.
Not as strong.
Yeah, they're just hesitant to go and get themselves checked out. And then it just becomes worse on all fronts, really, not just when it comes to cancer. You also have a support group in MACNA. What does that entail?
Okay, the support group is important because, like I said earlier, they can either provide you with the emotional support or, you know, to guide you, like a patient navigation program where they will guide you. Okay, if you have a problem financially, you don't have money, if you've run out of insurance, where do you go to? So the support group consists of people who've gone through. It consists of, you know, survivors. So the support group is very important. There are we have it. It's hospital based, and it's also personal. This lady, she's a our senior nurse. So what she does is she goes on home visits and she would give the support either at the home or at the hospital to that particular patient. Whereas in the hospital setting, it would be a group of people. So what she does and through the group is, you know, try to help out with, you know, each patient, what they have to go through at that point in time.
What do most people struggle with?
Acceptance. Trying to accept what they have, you know, why me? That's always the first thing, because there's no sign when you have breast cancer, or there's no sign. You go. Some people we have who go for a regular checkup, but when they get confirmation, they're diagnosed with cancer, with breast cancer, they it's just the acceptance level. They can't believe it. So that's the first thing. Once you accept that, you know, okay, you have this. Okay, what am I going to do next? So you want to help them with that. Then they can go through, and then they won't default, right. And they will see other survivors that have gone through it.
How do you help people with acceptance? And I'm sure it takes time.
It does. That's why with the support group, you tie in with the patient similar. So, for example, if we have a patient of a certain age whose husband just left her because of her disease, and you get someone who went through the same thing, so someone to guide you, to hold your hand. So that kind of support that we give.
Like a mentor-mentee kind of a program, yeah, something yeah, around those.
Yeah, because that person won't. She's gone through it. Yeah. She's not judging you, and you would have confidence. Okay, if she can make it, so can I. Right. And especially when you have, you know, so many commitments at home, you have young children, so you're a mess. So you need someone to make sense of, you know,
what's going on.
What's going on?
Help, yeah. There's a helpline as well.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. What is the helpline?
1-800. Yep. I think Magna.
Okay. 1-800 Magna. All right. So the symposium, is everyone welcome or?
Oh, that's for now, because it's going to be quite a small do. It's just going to call about 20 people. So all it's right. a start. It's a start. But we're building this up into hopefully next year. We're going to have, you know, more participants. Yeah, we're going to have it in a bigger place.
This is the first time you're organizing the symposium.
Yes, okay. yes, it is.
And so for the public to get support from Magna's efforts, do we just go to the helpline or is there a website?
Yeah, there's a website, yes, www.magna.org.my. Mm-hmm. We also have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter as well. But yes, or our line is 03-4256-9178.
Okay, 4256-9178. Brilliant. Would you have a message for all of us this World Cancer Day?
To do the best that you can to help someone.
How do we change our perception when it comes to cancer?
That it's not a death sentence. When someone comes to you and, you know, his or her world is falling down or falling apart, there are breakthroughs in medicine right now. With the right kind of support, it's curable. I mean, for us, inshallah, it's curable. So get your, if you need to do a regular checkup, you know, for early detection, please do so. So especially for women above 40, please do your mammograms once in 2 years. And for women who are sexually active, have your cervical cancer screening once in 3 years.
Do your pap smear.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay. And your message to the men?
Same thing.
We always forget the men when it comes to any sort of diagnosis and, you know, screening. But you know what? Go do your medical checkup, I suppose. You know, routine checkups.
Yeah.
It will help in the long run.
And if you need help, you know where to call.
Absolutely. So call Magna on 03-4256-9178, or they have a helpline. It's 1-800 Magna. It was a pleasure having you on. Thank you for joining us today. Farahida Muhammad Farid, General Manager of Magna, this World Cancer Day on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.